I'm Carissa Powell.
Hey, it's Tara Coleman.
On this segment, we're going to be talking about meeting management and tips and tricks that Tara and I have found to be really beneficial for running meetings. I want to preface that these are tips and tricks for your more standard, run-of-the-mill type meetings. A lot of other things we've talked about in other segments are for very unique, special situations. So we're hoping that this segment is for meetings here in COVID times and after when we're able to meet in person again one day.
This isn't everything, but this is definitely the things that we find helpful. And I want to start by saying you should know why you're having a meeting. One of my biggest pet peeves is when I get into a room, no one in the room seems to know why they're there. I don't know why they're there. There's no purpose, and it's just meandering monologue, and that drives me insane. So my philosophy is, side note, I recognize I have a good amount of social capital in my organization. What I recommend may not work for you, so take what works and massage it to fit your goals. So I have a good amount of social capital, and my philosophy is, I'm worth $100 an hour. If you waste my time, you better have a $100 bill crisp and fresh in your pocket to hand over to me. So think about that before you schedule a meeting. Is it worth $100 an hour if you were paying someone to be in the room? And that might mean you need to know and be able to articulate with a sentence or two what people are doing. If you can't do that, it might not be worth having a meeting. Another thing to consider is, are you calling it a meeting, but it's really just like check-ins or a social event? That's okay. But let people know in advance so they know how much energy to bring, especially in Zoom times. If you just want to see my face, that's okay. Like, I schedule meetings with my student employee just to see her face and make sure she's doing okay, because we don't see each other every day. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't need an agenda, but I want her to know why she's there. If you need to schedule time to just share announcements, I'm going to ask you to think twice. I don't know how you feel, Carissa, but for me, sitting in a virtual room where people are just sharing announcements that I could have read drives me insane.
Yeah, especially in these current times when I find Zoom meetings to be incredibly draining. And I think a lot of people have best intentions, that they're trying to be transparent and have good communication. I would recommend thinking about the best use of people's times and if it really needs to be a meeting or not. So that's tip number one, is determine whether or not the meeting needs to take place.
Yeah. And here's a really clever way I have seen people verify that everyone heard the announcements. So our university uses Qualtrics as our survey system. Someone created little Zoom meetings sharing the announcements or PowerPoint, and they embedded it into the survey. So you could email out the survey. Someone would watch the video or look through the PowerPoint presentations, and they just had to say yes or no. So you can totally cheat that and just hit yes on all of them, but at least you can say someone participated. And for me, that took 5 minutes rather than an hour-long meeting. So there's a lot of ways of being clever, and I'd love for our listeners to share ways that they were able to share announcements or get discussion without having to necessarily be in a meeting.
Now we're going to talk about meeting management before the meeting even starts. So you've done step one. It really needs to be a meeting. What is something you could do, Tara, before the meeting even gets started?
I think that meetings should be given the same weight that a class or a training is, and that means you prep a lot in advance. So what I like to do is think about, what is the issue I need to address in this meeting? And I articulate it and I form things about it. I think that most meetings should have an agenda if it's formal. And in this agenda, it should be, here's the topic we're discussing. Here is who's leading it, how much time we're spending, and some outcomes. And then be really mindful. I've been in meetings where people are, they scheduled an hour and there are 15 to 20 items. You're never going to do that. You're never going to get through that. So just be really mindful about what you're supposed to do. I also think it's important when you're planning this to look around the room and like have a heart to heart with yourself about who is in the meeting and what are they going to do or not do before the meeting starts.
Yeah, I think it's really easy for folks, myself included, to come to a meeting unprepared. It's not an ideal situation, but I think it's good to accept that someone in the room is probably maybe didn't read the report, didn't do the homework. So I think an easy solution to that is to build time into your meeting, maybe have folks share highlights, maybe even give time to go over something in the meeting. Have you found that to be a successful thing for you?
Oh, definitely. And I really like, I've done this in two ways. I led a faculty meeting where for the reports that everyone was supposed to have read, but generally people don't read, is that the person who wrote the report had to give me three bullets of highlights. And then that would be on the screen before the meeting starts. Committee one had A, B, and C. Are there any questions about this? Some people have read the report. They're great. The people who didn't read the report got some highlights and an opportunity to ask questions. And then we got through things so much faster than the person who wrote the report giving a verbal summary, which either a verbal summary or maybe a written one, but doing both takes a lot of time. Another way could be if you don't have the highlights, build that in, like the meeting starts at 10 o'clock and say, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to review the reports and then really start the meeting 5 minutes in. I think those are really helpful ways. Just be honest with who's in the room. Something else that I've noticed is I mentioned before, sometimes people don't know why they're in the room. Have you had that experience where you're in a meeting and you're like, why am I here?
Yeah, especially for meetings that are not regular ongoing meetings. Sometimes maybe there's a miscommunication about why someone was invited to the meeting. And that can be really awkward to get to that day and be like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. So I think an easy solution there, and again, this is if you have the social capital, you have the autonomy, this fits within your organizational norm. It's helpful to clarify your role in the meeting before you agree to attend, especially maybe if you just received a calendar invite out of the blue.
Yeah, I've done this with a lot of success. I have just said, thank you so much for this invitation. Can you clarify what my role will be? That's helpful because if the role is something that doesn't fit your need, you can turn around and ask or like politely decline. Thank you so much. I no longer do that work. Could I extend this invitation to my colleague, Carissa, who does this a lot? I'd be happy to go to the first meeting with her so that she could have an introduction and then I can step back and let her take that role. That's nice because it allows new people or people who might be underutilized to have some experience. If you are not comfortable doing that, sometimes what's helpful is to turn around and offer what you can do, especially if your time is limited. Have you ever done that, Carissa?
I actually haven't done that before. Have you? What would that look like?
Yeah, it's actually really magical. I was invited to be on a committee that I wanted to say no to because it would have been like poking my eyes out, and I'm against doing that. What I did is I responded and said that sounded really wonderful, but I didn't have the capacity in my calendar. But if they could give me some ideas of what that committee would do, there might be a couple of times I could join in from the side. I offer usually if you needed help facilitating a meeting or with assessment, something like that I already have some skills at, like, oh, I'm really good at Qualtrics. If you wanted some help creating some surveys or doing usability, I would be happy to join in for those particular meetings, but I don't have the capacity to be there the whole time. Again, we both know you might not be able to do that. But sometimes volunteering first for a project can help you save time and massage the way the meeting is run so it's less painful.
I think another issue that folks might run into before a meeting even happens is that sometimes people just have too many meetings to attend. What do you think, Tara, is a solid solution to that?
I think it depends on if you are the facilitator or just the participant. If you're the facilitator, I would recommend having shorter meetings. We traditionally meet in our organization for an hour. I would say schedule meetings for 40 minutes and put buffers on both ends so that people can take a body break, get off their other Zoom, or for COVID, go from building to building. My library experienced a pretty bad fire in 2018, and we, our whole library staff were in multiple buildings on campus and off campus. So for us to have an in-person meeting, it could take 15 minutes to walk to that building. And when you have meetings back to back, it's a struggle. So ending a meeting 10 or 15 minutes early gives people time to walk. So think about doing that virtually too. Sometimes having the virtual equivalent of a standing meeting is nice. So a standing meeting is one of those meetings where you meet at the elevator, no one's allowed to sit, and that forces the meeting to go by faster. Depending on your organization, standing meetings might really just be you record something and share it out and ask people to respond, or putting a timer on something so that once the timer hits, you are done and you're able to disperse. Shorter meetings definitely helps. And if you have the ability to plan something out for a semester or a month, like meeting one, we do this, meeting two, we do this, meeting three, we do that. And then once you have done the things in that meeting you said, don't jump to the next meeting, end it, and then go. There is no reason to fill an hour just because you have an hour on the calendar. Thanks for listening. This is Tara Coleman.
And I'm Carissa Powell.
Peace out.
Bye.